I'm Nikki Strong. Thanks for listening.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are written especially for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Today, Dan Friedel tells us about career and technical education, called CTE for short. Then Dan Novak will take us to New Zealand. There, the month of June was the warmest on record. He talks about how these warmer temperatures are affecting life. I will return with this week's words and their stories. Today, I will talk about two sayings that come from horses. And we will finish the program with our series on America's presidents. Today, Kelly Jean Kelly will tell us about President John F. Kennedy. But first, the education report.
17-year-old Charles Wilkinson will not go to college after completing his study at Edison High School last June. That does not mean Wilkinson will face an uncertain future. In fact, he is excited about his future. About 9% of high school graduates like Wilkinson in Fairfax County in Northern Virginia do not go to either a four-year college or a community college. Some of them may have difficulty with traditional school subjects, but they are better at making things and using tools to solve problems. Wilkinson told VOA he used to wonder what to do with his learning in math, science, and history. But that was before he started taking an auto body repair class at Edison Academy, his high school's center for career training. At the academy, Wilkinson learned to fix dents and do basic welding, a process where one uses heat to melt pieces of metal and join them together. With his training, Wilkinson got a job at a factory to make parts for machines. In his extra time, he rebuilt an old car that he bought for $600. It is an Austin Healey Sprite, a small convertible made in Great Britain about 50 years ago. Convertible is a term for a car that does not have a hard top like most vehicles. Other students learned to work on heating and cooling systems and take care of animals at the academy. Some studied how to solve computer security problems, cut hair, and build homes during their CTE or career and technical education classes. Robert Stringham teaches CTE classes in heating and cooling at the academy. He said the current CTE students are better prepared for the future than those who went to high school in the 1990s. In those days, Stringham said, some saw CTE classes as a dumping ground for students who had trouble with traditional school subjects. But now, he said, CTE students are able to learn even more skills. CTE classes can also be good for students whose families do not speak English at home. If they have trouble understanding a teacher speaking or reading a textbook, they can often learn a skill by watching. In his class, Stringham said, students learned to work with computers and electrical parts that control heating and cooling systems. Other students worked on a home building project during the 2020-2021 school year, and the house they built will be sold for close to $1 million. Jacob Torres took heating and cooling classes with Stringham. The coronavirus pandemic reduced his in-person class time last year, so he worked on the heating system at his parents' home to keep learning. Torres plans to continue learning about electrical systems and other subjects at Northern Virginia Community College. After 2 years, Torres will then decide whether to go to a four-year college or to work full-time. I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Dan. Now, here is Dan Novak.
New Zealand finished its warmest June on record. Experts say they expect the warming trend to continue and predict the country will experience shorter winters in the future. The average temperature in June was 10.6 degrees Celsius, the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, or NIWA, reported this week. That was 2 degrees Celsius above the 30-year average for June. It is also more than 0.3 degrees Celsius higher than previous records set in 2003 and 2014. Record-keeping began in 1909. Gregor Makara is a climate scientist at the government-run NIWA. He told the Associated Press that one reason for the record was an increase in winds coming from the warmer north rather than the Antarctic south. In addition, ocean temperatures are unusually warm. Makara added that while the weather might change from month to month, the underlying trend is of increasing temperatures and overall warming. The average temperature in New Zealand has increased by about 1 degree Celsius over the past 100 years, Makara said. If this trend continues, people can expect later and warmer winters, followed by earlier springs. The situation is putting pressure on ski resorts, a week away from when many students take their winter school holidays. Photographs from several of the larger resorts showed rocks and earth under only a little bit of snow. Some resorts have used snowmaking machines to open some runs, but many lifts remain closed. Some farmers are happy with the warmer weather. Jim Galloway is with the advocacy group Federated Farmers. He told the AP this year has been a godsend. The warmer weather and rain has finally permitted some grass to grow, providing food for sheep and cows, he said. His area has experienced 2 years of drought conditions. It's helped a lot, but there's a long way to go, Galloway said. There's not a lot of groundwater. The dams are still empty, basically. I'm Dan Novak.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. Sometimes we explain where they come from and how to use them. Today, we talk about horses. They are strong, fast, and beautiful animals. Many years ago, in many places around the world, people used horses to get around. These days, horseback riding is done for sport. It is a good way to get exercise outdoors. However, it is not the easiest sport to enjoy. First of all, horseback riding can cost a lot. You need a horse, the right equipment, a place for it to live, called a stable, and a lot of land to ride it on. Those things can cost a lot of money. So many people just rent time on a horse. But that can cost a lot too. Then there is the learning curve. This is the time it takes to learn how to do something. Horseback riding has a pretty steep learning curve. Most people need to do it a lot to feel safe on a horse. So, people who did not take lessons when they were young may have a harder time learning when they get older. That is because there is also some danger with horseback riding. You could get seriously hurt if a horse throws you from its back. If that happens, people say it is important to get back on the horse as soon as you can. Of course, after you get checked for injuries. If you do not get back in the saddle, you may be afraid to ever ride a horse again. But if you climb right back on the horse, you might forget about falling off. That is where we get two expressions, back in the saddle and, if you fall off a horse, get right back on. Now, a saddle is the leather seat that you put on a horse's back. It secures a rider to the horse. When we say we are getting back in the saddle, we are doing something that we have not done in a while, or something we think we no longer do well. For example, let's say I get fired from my job. It not only upsets me, but it also hurts my self-confidence. So my friends could say to me, "Anna, it's time you get back in the saddle. Go find another job." If you fall off a horse, you get right back on, is the same advice. It means to return to an activity that you have failed at or had trouble with. But not just any activity. If you did something that you didn't enjoy and failed, there is really no need to do it again. For this expression, the activity is usually something that you like or that is important to you for some reason. For example, a friend of mine is a piano player. Once he wrote a piece of music and played it for a room full of people. But they did not really like it. So he got upset and wanted to quit playing. I told him, "You have to get right back on that horse. Go back home right now and write another song." And he did. He is still trying, but he is not afraid of playing in front of people. So if you need to tell someone to get over their fears and try something again, you can use one of these expressions. If you make mistakes speaking English to a room full of people, just forget about it. My advice is get back in the saddle as soon as possible. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo. And now, Kelly Jean Kelly.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was also known as Jack Kennedy, or by the letters JFK. When he took office in 1961, Kennedy was 43 years old. He was the youngest elected president in United States history. Kennedy was also the first Catholic to be elected U.S. president. Kennedy's youth and religion raised questions in the minds of some Americans that Kennedy could lead the country. They wondered if he would always follow the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. But Kennedy became well known as a statesman and popular with people around the world. He was intelligent, funny, and good-looking. For many, Kennedy was a sign of new energy and hope. The public was shocked then when the president's term was violently cut short. John F. Kennedy was born in 1917 near Boston, Massachusetts. He was the second of nine children. Both his parents were Catholic, with ancestors from Ireland. Many years ago, Irish Catholics faced discrimination in the United States. But the Kennedy family was also politically powerful and wealthy. As a result, young Jack Kennedy grew up in big, beautiful houses and received a top-quality education. His family did not suffer during the Great Depression, as many Americans had. Instead, the Kennedy children swam, sailed boats, and played sports. Jack also enjoyed reading books and following the news. His older brother Joe wanted to enter politics, but Jack said he might become a teacher or writer. When he was a college student at Harvard, Jack wrote a long paper about Britain in the years leading up to World War II. A version of it was published in 1940 as a book. The war changed Jack's thinking about his future plans. During World War II, both Jack and his older brother joined the U.S. Navy. In the Pacific, Jack became a hero. He won medals for leading some of his troops to safety after a Japanese warship struck a boat they were on. But Joe was killed. In 1944, his airplane exploded over Europe. When the war ended, Jack's father urged him to follow his brother's dream of succeeding in politics. Jack agreed, and he set his sights on becoming the country's first Catholic president. Kennedy was nominated as the Democratic Party's candidate, and he was elected in 1960. He easily defeated Vice President Richard Nixon, the Republican candidate, in the Electoral College. But Kennedy won only narrowly in the popular vote. Though he was young, Kennedy brought experience to the job. In addition to being a naval officer, Kennedy had been a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as a senator from Massachusetts. He also published a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Profiles in Courage. And he had become a husband and father. He married a wealthy, well-educated woman who had been working as a newspaper photographer. Her name was Jacqueline Bouvier, but she was sometimes called Jackie. She became pregnant 5 times, but only 2 of her children would survive, a daughter named Carolyn and a son, John F. Kennedy, Jr. The family of 4 moved into the White House in January 1961. On the day he was sworn in, Kennedy gave a speech that many people still remember today. It celebrated the new generation of Americans and promised to pay any price for liberty. Supporters of the new president loved his energy and sense of hope. In his most famous line, Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Many young people remembered that line when they volunteered for a program Kennedy created in 1961, the Peace Corps. Other Americans remembered the line when they watched 2 Apollo 11 astronauts walk on the moon in 1969. Kennedy strongly supported the country's space program. He promised that Americans would land on the moon by the end of the 1960s, and they did. Kennedy also supported efforts to improve civil rights across the U.S., although his administration moved slowly. Calls to end legalized racism were growing stronger during Kennedy's time in office, particularly because of the leadership of Martin Luther King, Jr. In June of 1963, King spoke to hundreds of thousands of people at a civil rights protest called the March on Washington. He told the crowd that he dreamed, "My 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The March on Washington, among other events, showed the power of the civil rights movement. In late 1963, President Kennedy sent a civil rights bill to Congress and spoke to Americans about the injustice that remained in the country. The Peace Corps, the space race, and civil rights are all part of Kennedy's legacy. Kennedy is also remembered for several troubling international events. In one, known as the Bay of Pigs, Americans supported Cuban refugees in an effort to oust the government of Fidel Castro. Not only did the refugees fail, but Kennedy's government was found to be lying about their support of the effort. And Kennedy faced off with the leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. In 1962, American leaders learned that the Soviets had hidden nuclear weapons in Cuba. The missiles would be able to reach the U.S. mainland easily. Kennedy ordered a blockade of Cuba. People around the world held their breath as they waited to see if the U.S. and the Soviet Union would launch a nuclear war. They did not. After several very tense weeks, Kennedy and Khrushchev reached an agreement that ended the crisis. Kennedy went on to reach an agreement with the Soviet Union and Britain to limit nuclear weapons testing. He said the agreement was one of the presidential acts of which he was most satisfied. Historians still debate Kennedy's actions and what else might have happened during his presidency. They wonder especially what he would have done about the increasing conflict in Vietnam. But Kennedy did not live to finish his first term.
¶¶
By November 22, 1963, Kennedy had been president for just under 3 years. The next election was still a year away, but it was time to start campaigning again. So the president and his wife went to Dallas, Texas, to connect with voters. They were riding in a car with other official vehicles that drove slowly through the center of the city. Jack, Jackie, and the Texas governor and his wife sat in a convertible, an automobile without protection over the seats. The president was waving at the crowd. Suddenly, several gunshots were fired. The president was struck twice. The governor was also hit and injured. Kennedy was hurried to a hospital, but doctors were unable to help him. News reporters announced his death to a stunned public. Hours later, Jackie Kennedy appeared next to the former vice president, now president, Lyndon Johnson. She still wore the clothes with her husband's blood on them. The events remain intense in the minds of many Americans who were alive at the time. The images remain easily recognizable parts of American history. The pictures of Kennedy's family at his funeral are especially memorable. In one, 3-year-old John holds up his arm and salutes his father's casket. Attention quickly turned to the gunman. It was reportedly a 24-year-old man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Shortly after the president and the governor were shot, Oswald shot a policeman who questioned him. Oswald was eventually detained. Officials planned to bring him to court for the death of the president and the policeman. But on the way from the police station to the jail, a local nightclub owner shot and killed Oswald. As a result, the case never came to trial. Many Americans believe the reason for the attack has yet to be clarified. Historians have a mixed reaction to Kennedy's years as a president, although their opinions are generally positive. His image with the public suffered some years after his death because of reports that he had romantic relationships with women other than Jackie throughout his marriage. In time, the public also learned about Kennedy's health problems. He suffered from severe back pain and Addison's disease. He often used strong medicine to help control the conditions. The health problems are at odds with Kennedy's image of health and love of sports. Yet even with these new details, Kennedy is still one of the country's best-remembered leaders. He was a charismatic man whose career influenced many other Americans to enter public service. Americans also remember his stylish, cultured wife. Jackie Kennedy compared the Kennedy years at the White House to Camelot, the legendary court of King Arthur. Their remains, along with those of two of their children, are buried at Arlington National Cemetery, across the Potomac River from Washington. They are honored there with an eternal flame, one designed so the fire will never go out. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.